Welcome to the Red Card District. This is our Group C preview. Joining Alex and I is Phil Shane of BN Sports. Thanks for coming on, Phil.
It is a pleasure.
Always a pleasure to have you on with us. Now, let's get into a little bit of the action in Group C. The group features one of the South American powers that we are expecting to do well at this tournament in Colombia. Can you tell us a little about what you think and what the expectations are for Colombia, Phil?
Well, it's interesting because I have a feeling that if Radamel Falcao García had been healthy, they'd be a lot more solid. However, one of the reasons is because this is a team that's so deep. So maybe in the past, if they would have lost their talisman, it would have been even more fatal. But when you take a look at all of the other talent they still have on display, there's a very good chance they won't miss a beat. So it's one of those situations in my mind where the very first game is going to tail. And not so much as to whether they get out, but whether the team that and for the championship, or at least to get to the semifinals. And in my mind, they need to find a way to score against Greece, because as the tournament progresses, the defenses get tighter. And if they can't beat Greece in the opening game, and I'm not going to say easily, but at least put a couple of goals in against arguably the best defensive team in this World Cup, I have a feeling that they might struggle once they get to the knockout stage. So I think they're going to have to get off on the right foot. And again, this team, though, that does have a ton of talent, it's really keyed in the midfield, especially without Falcao now, with James Rodriguez, who has done so well over the last few years, and he has a lot of weapons at his disposal.
Yeah, it's a big shame that we won't see Falcao at the tournament. But they have great backup in Baca and in Ramos, and also in Jackson Martinez. You know, they scored altogether. They scored over 60 goals in Europe this season. And if Colombia can bring the best out of them, and they and also the James Rodriguez, then it will look really, really good for their prospects.
I agree, and I know they also lose Aldo Leal Ramirez, who is a defensive midfielder, central midfielder in position, but in some ways more regista in the Italian tradition, a deep-lying playmaker behind Rodriguez. And I was a bit surprised that McNelly Torres got called in. I know that he's kind of slid just a little bit over the past few months, but he seemed to have been the guy that really got the best out of the pairing with James Rodriguez. But again, this team is so deep. I guess the one real concern might be defensively, in the fact that they're still relying on Mario Yepes, who, if you believe the rumors, was around back in the 1930 World Cup. But at the same point, when you've watched him play over the last year and a half, you can see why. So, again, if they can hold up to the heat, to the pressure, and actually get something going offensively, this is a team I think could go deep.
Who do you think would be there, if you had to pick one danger man for them, or someone people haven't seen too much from, who do you think would be their breakout star?
Breakout star. That might be a little bit more difficult because, while this is a relatively young team, this is also a team that that has talent that's been on the world stage for a while. I think if you look perhaps at the newcomers, if things play out, Victory Barbo is a player that has been in Italy for a while, and it's a guy that is powerful enough to play at center forward, but also has been played at Cagliari on the wings and left and right. So it's a big guy with some speed, some crossing ability, not extremely selfish. I think at this point he's probably in that second tier, and maybe is an alternative, a plan B for Jose Nestor Pekerman. So the guy in my mind that seems to be the straight swap for Falcao would be Carlos Bacca. And this is a guy who used to be a party animal back in his Colombia days. But once he got to Europe, initially to Portugal and now to Sevilla, I believe he found some religion and also found some professionalism, because this is a guy that just scores goals for fun. And I think we saw a little bit of that danger in Europa League this year as well as La Liga. And in some ways, He might even be hotter than Falcao. So we'll find out. But Carlos Bacca is probably the guy that's going to get the chances initially. And if it's not him, Jackson Martinez is a guy that's just been scoring goals left and right for Porto. And many thought that when Falcao would leave, that he might be the guy that Atletico would go out and get. So, again, this is a team that's just got a wealth of riches on the offensive side.
You get a good chance to see a lot of Juan Cuadrado at Fiorentina. Do you have any opinions on him? He'll likely be lining up on the wing, you would think, right?
Correct, and probably for Barcelona is going to be the man that's going to step in for Dani Alves. So if you look at him as a wing back, which is where he plays in Italy, or at least played in Italy before the formation changed and he got a little bit more offensive, this is a guy that just runs all day, and unlike Alves, who tends to make that early cross or maybe try and work some tiki-takas with Messi, Cuadrado is a guy that is not afraid to cut inside and take a shot, can play on the left and right, although mainly on the right-hand side, and again, this he is a superb athlete that has a lot of skill, talent, and vision. I'm not sure if he's going to really blow up at this World Cup. I think you might have to wait and see how he gels with Barcelona, and that's when I think people will really appreciate what he can do. But he is a huge part of the, I guess, the transition from defense to attack for Colombia.
Great. Now let's move on to Ivory Coast. This is a team that has been hyped in a few past big tournaments, but have really suffered from having a very difficult draw. Do you think that they're going to exercise those demons and actually be able to progress and do something big at this tournament?
Perhaps, or you could also say that this is a team that maybe stuck around for one cup long. Lamouchi's an interesting coach, and I think that that maybe gives them a bit of new blood in the fact that they're going to take some of the talent that they've had and make a bit of a transition, perhaps use them in a slightly different way. I'd say arguably this is the most talented side, although I think that Ghana might be as well, although Ghana perhaps just a little bit younger. And again, you look at Kalou, you look at Drogba, you look at Wilfred Boni. Again, another team that has a ton of offense. There might be a few questions in regards to their defense, but this is, I'd say, one of those teams. I think Wilfred Boni might be the epitome of the way this team has really turned around. There's, I guess, I talked about how Lamouchi might be the new blood, the new ideas, but I guess the one question is how do they gel? Because they've been a bit erratic in the qualifying and a bit erratic of late, so it'll be interesting to see if he can get all the pieces in place, because when you get in this group stage, unlike qualifying where you have home and away, one mistake could prove fatal, especially in a group that I think has as many possible outcomes as this one does.
Yeah, I mean, Jovinho's had an amazing year at Roma. He's really grown up into his role, and that's a lot of thanks to his former coach at Lille. So, how old do you think Jovinho's going to do at this World Cup?
He always tended, even when he was with Arsenal, to do a little bit better, to show the promise when he was with the national team. I think in some ways it has to do with the strong personalities, and I think that in situations at the Emirates where he might drive inside and be selfish and miss, when you have someone like Didier Drogba to pass it off to, or a Solomon Kalou at times. I mean, this is a team that just has so many dominant personalities in attack that he doesn't feel like he has to be the guy that's carrying the load. And I think when we saw that again with his return to Rudy Garcia's side, even though he might not have been playing as much, but the presence of a Francesco Totti and the ability of the midfield behind, I think we started to see him come back into his own. I'm an Arsenal fan, you guys know that, and it was just really frustrating to watch him at times under Arsene Wenger, but Rudy Garcia knows how to get the most out of him, and I think that he is probably peaked to the point where this could be his World Cup. This could be his best chance to leave a mark. And again, it's in large part because again, you look at the midfield behind with Yaya Toure coming off of a career year, Didier Drogba perhaps in a swan song up in front with him, that all Gervinho has to do is go out and play. He doesn't have to carry the load.
Yeah, and it looks like Gervinho might get much more space and much more time to finish against Japan and maybe against Colombia too.
No, absolutely, and it's a fluctuating front line. I mean, you just, I guarantee you, if there's a coach out there, a technical director with a really big transfer kitty, he's going to be keeping an eye on this team because this is a team that's just loaded. In my mind, the question comes back to the back line. I know Kolo Touré had some health issues recently, but that should be taken care of. Didier Sakora is getting
old's
up
not
there.
Get fixed, Phil.
That's a good point. You can cure an upset tummy, but as far as Didier Sakora, another guy that's not getting any younger, is very good in regards to control, but there are questions in regard to how he can control a back line. So these are veteran guys that have a lot of experience, but still occasionally have that blunder that can cost. Now, I think in the group stage, bar the game against Greece, where one goal might be all that's out there, I think that you can probably survive a blunder with the firepower that this team has. But I think that if they are the second team to come out, I don't know if we're going to see them around that long.
Yeah, it'd be tough for them if they finish second, but we shall see. To your point that you were making, though, I mean, Yaya Toure, the Toure brothers are still there. Obviously, Kolo is, you know, past his best days, but he still is a good veteran leadership for this team.
He'd still make a good car salesman. That's for sure.
He still would. But we do have Yaya, and Yaya really is the heartbeat and the pulse of this team. We've seen what he's done with Manchester City and just what he can provide through the midfield as one of the, you know, I think it's fair to say he's arguably one of the most complete midfielders in the game right now. Do you think that based on his form, that's just how the Ivory Coast will go?
Perhaps. And again, you have the question in my mind. And again, I think this is a team that's veteran enough to figure it out, but it's a team that has been led by Drogba with Toure in a supporting role, and now maybe the situation is a bit reversed. So when things start to get tight, when a pass goes awry, when a shot gets blasted out of the stadium, I think the interesting point will be to see how this team responds. And that's, again, the question with a relative newcomer and a coach like Lamouchi. Maybe young enough to relate, so maybe there's actually a positive. But there's so many egos on this team that have been pulling in the same direction. You kind of wonder if they're going to be able to keep it up here in what might be this generation's last chance.
Yeah, that's I totally agree with you. From talking about egos, let's talk about some non-egos at Greece. What do you hope to see from players like Mitroglou and?
Well, I'd say a shot would be nice. And I really have questions, again, in regards to the attack. I think defensively they're very solid. Karnesis is really starting to prove himself.
You're not backing Samaras for the Golden Boot?
Well, it all depends. I think if he probably takes it over to somewhere in Brazil, they could maybe spray paint it gold while they're in the middle of putting up a mural on the wall. But I don't think we're going to see much out of this. The one guy in my mind that I love is Dimitri Salpingidis, and I think he's one of the most underrated players of his generation. But he's not the guy to lead. He's the guy that puts it on a platter. And I'm just not that convinced that guys like Gekas or Samadis, and as Fulham fans are well aware, Mitroglou, are going to take advantage of those chances. And at the same point, the way things worked down the stretch, Salpingidis was used in reserve sometime, maybe as a super sub, age of 32 getting up there, maybe in the conditions they'll try and save him for late. But I think the real key, again, for this Greece squad is going to be make sure the other team doesn't score and try and snag one late. And even then, if they go 0-0-0-0-1-0, they'll be in heaven and they'll be in the next round. And from that point on, it just takes penalties to get through to the final. So some questions about Socrates. He missed the last friendlies, and I think the Dortmund man is going to be healthy enough to lead that back line. It's not quite the formidable side that won the Euros, but it is still very difficult to get through. And his creative talent, I think we saw it as well. And his dribbling ability, creative ability, but it's the three big men up front, and I'm just not sure if they're going to get anything. And in all honesty, I know there's a question: Santos even really wants to? Again, just stay close, lose the game, and win it if you have a chance. Might get him into second place in the group, but I don't think it gets him much further.
Yeah, I don't think the expectations are too high for that Greek team. But let's move on to Japan. This is a team that has, you know, several accomplished, good technical players. I've been watching a few of their friendlies before the tournament, and you know, the technical level that they've shown has been pretty good. You know, I've seen some decent play from their attacking players. What do you really expect to see from them? Because they have guys like Keisuke Honda, you know, guys like Shinji Kagawa, who, you know, have been, say, underappreciated or underwhelming at Manchester United. Do you see them making any kind of impact?
This is going to be one of the teams that could be a surprise. I think there's questions in regards to their defense. I think style-wise, I agree with you that this is a team that's not just the relentless runners that we might have seen in World Cups past. They have a lot of skill. And you talked about Honda. In my mind, in some ways, he's almost the weak link on this team. Maybe it's the fact that he's been bouncing around from club to club and never really had the chance to, or wasn't good enough, perhaps, to make his mark in Milan. But Kagawa is going to be a guy that's going to give you that heart and soul that you might be used to from Japan in the past. But there's some really good players that are there. The veteran Endo is a solid player. I think Okazaki might be the guy that could break through. He's done so well in Germany. I think he's going to put himself into position to score, and he's proven to be a guy that's very effective when he does. He doesn't need too many chances. So I think that they need things to fall their way. I think the fact that they're under a manager like Zaccheroni will give them a bit of peace, a bit of composure when things get tight. This is not the toughest group, but it's nowhere near the easiest group. So again, I think if you look at the way that the key for me is they have to get a victory against Japan, against Greece, and that's going to be their second game before they close out against Colombia. So if they can hold their own against the Ivory Coast, get the win against Greece, then maybe a draw would be good enough against Colombia in the finale for both teams. And I think that's probably their best chance to advance. But I would not be surprised. I'm going through my revised World Cup bracket. I did one right after the draw, and they didn't get out. But taking a look at the way things are progressing, that's one of those ones that I might have to switch, and I think that they do have a decent chance to get out of this group, maybe at the Ivory Coast's expense.
As you can see, Japan's team has a lot of players from the Bundesliga. Do you think the Bundesliga has helped them like reach their potential?
I don't know if it's helped them reach their potential. I think it's helped them lift their potential. They still have a lot of home-based players. Obviously, Kagawa was underutilized at United down the stretch. Not sure what's going to happen with him in the new season, but I do see that this is a guy also that was born and bred, if you will, through the Bundesliga, and you do see that in the way that they play. They are energetic. They are fit. At the same point, they have that little touch of something special, that bit of creativity at the end of it. And again, I'm not sure if the talent is there, but I think that this is a real team. They are a team that, maybe surprised a bit by Zambia in the run-up to this World Cup, still seems to be peaking at the right time. And with Colombia a little bit weakened, with the Ivory Coast maybe a bit cocky, Japan might be the team that could come in and pip someone. So like I mentioned with Colombia versus Greece, it's going to be interesting to see if Colombia can get a goal or two past Greece to see how good they are and how far they can progress. I take a look at Japan versus the Ivory Coast to find out which of those teams is going to get at least a nose in front in the race for second.
So all these fixtures also, I mean, the locations they're at, the conditions are going to be very, very hot. You know, the stadiums are all out. They're expecting, you know, temperatures upwards of 100 degrees and up, right? Was it it's going to be 120?
Well, not all of them. I mean, basically you have the Castellão with Fortaleza would be up there. Belo Horizonte might not be that bad at the Mineirão, but obviously Recife, Natal is going to be very bad, and that's good. That's the Japan-Greece game. So it might be one of those ones where you just want to record it on the DVR and flip through it, join in at halftime. But that's going to be a battle of endurance, and I think that's one where maybe the fitness of Japan will play out, but it's definitely going to be a key. I think that a lot of people are looking at Brazil and thinking of everything is going to be ridiculously hot, thinking about Manaus and Natal and some of the northern and Amazon sides. But just to give you an idea, and it doesn't play in this group, but Curitiba was below freezing just a few days back. That's at altitude as well as being a bit further south. So right. I think we've seen it in Buenos Aires, we've seen it in Sao Paulo, Rio Grande do Sul, that the temperature is much more wintry with temperatures in the low 60s or even 50s or lower. So it's going to be interesting. I'll see how in those winter conditions, how the fields hold up and if some of them get choppy. I know we did the Brazil game on BN Sports at the Morumbi.
That pitch did not look too great.
It looked like a potato patch. And I know that it hasn't quite been kept up because it's not one of the World Cup sites. But some of these other fields might also have a little bit of a problem. So the teams that go into the hot weather are going to have one set of issues. The teams that are going to be staying in the more wintry conditions of South America and have another one. And I think that this group's going to see a bit of the mix, and Japan's probably going to have to be one of those sides that has to adapt more than most.
So Phil, who do you see coming out of this group? We got to get your predictions now. Who tops the group and who comes in second?
Still going to say Colombia tops it. And at this point, and this is very, very hard. And like in some ways, it's the same as the U.S. group, where so much is going to be determined on day one. With in my mind, whoever wins that Ghana-U.S. game is going to be the second team behind Germany, unless Portugal can pull a shock against Germany. I kind of see the same thing here, that bar the shock of Greece against Colombia, whichever team comes out on top again in the Ivory Coast versus Japan game is going to be it. And right now, I'm actually starting to switch towards Japan. So let me stick with that. I'm going to say the Cafeteros and the Samurai. Keep your eyes on the Ivory Coast.
Very nice. Yeah, I'm going to stick with the Ivory Coast for my second pick. What about you, Alex? Who do you see coming out?
I see Colombia and the Ivory Coast. Just if they're hoping they're having their best tournament, because they usually are very, very terrible at World Cups.
And then the other team you have to consider, I mean, we saw it, it's the same with Italy. I mean, basically just survive the group stage and then try and move on. Greece is one of those teams that if their defense is as good as advertised, it might be the most boring group in the World Cup, but they don't care if they can get their ticket punched. So it's not the group of death, but it might be one of the most difficult to predict.
It's the group of unexpectation.
Indeed, indeed. Well, thank you for those predictions, Phil. Can we get your tournament winner, actually, while we have you? Who is your pick to win the World Cup?
Well, we're really getting a look at the way this goes with these friendlies that have driven us towards the Cup, and I know we still have a couple more big ones to come. But back after the draw, I picked Brazil. However, they don't really look as though they're clicking on all cylinders. I still am leaning in that direction, but when you look at all these friendlies, the one that really jumps out, the only team in my mind, and forget the France 8-0 shellacking of a experimental Jamaica squad, the one team that really looks like it's coasting and hasn't even reached for the clutch to take it out of first gear is Argentina. I think there's so much pressure on this team. Maybe the only team with more is Brazil as the hosts, but Lionel Messi just, you're seeing that look that he missed this entire season with Barcelona. Angel Di Maria, with what his emergence has been at Real Madrid, giving him some support. And they haven't even been able to play Gonzalo Higuain of late. So I'm still leaning towards Brazil. I have a feeling that the team that's going to come into a flying start is Argentina, and I just don't think that the cup is going to leave South
America. Yeah, I'm with you there. I really don't see it leaving South America. Obviously, history lends itself that way. I mean, just in terms of how it's all panned out in the past. And yeah, actually, I picked when I initially did my bracket, I wasn't sure how I was going to go, and as soon as it played out, I just did it all on instinct. I ended up with Argentina as my winner as well. Yeah, we'll be looking to see a lot from the South American teams. I mean, you really can't play that down. Do you think, I mean, for Argentina, do you think they're going to experience a hostile atmosphere? Or, I mean, you know, the last thing Brazilians want to see is Argentina win on their soil. Or will they have enough of a home contingent there?
They will have a lot of home contingent, but there will be a lot more Brazilians. I don't think they care. I think that this is a team that has been built together. Even the home base players are used to being booed relentlessly when they're on the road, and the Europeans have been at the top flight. I think that Argentina, again, with the composure that they've had, and under Scala, who can be a good leader in a calming atmosphere and just blow through the egos, this Argentina side is really starting to look like something special.
Yeah, and it's been really impressive. I mean, the fact that they haven't conceded any goals, and I mean, obviously the opposition hasn't been too great in many of these friendlies, but, you know, actually being solid at the back on top of that huge attacking potential. And, you know, and to your point, we're all hoping
What is it, 500 minutes without a goal allowed?
Yeah, 500-something minutes or so. That's what they were saying when I was watching that friendly on BN the other day. So it's been 500, almost 600 minutes, I guess, without them conceding a goal.
Lots of that is down to Zabaleta, Garay, and Mascherano.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but the honestly, the competition hasn't been too great. But, I mean, they've looked very good, you know, organizationally in the back. And really, this is, you got to say, there's no better chance for Messi to win a World Cup. And we all know how much of a competitor he is. And you got to know he's gunning for that trophy. So,
Absolutely. I think there's one other thing that we need to touch on a little bit, and it goes to Sabella. You talked about Mascherano. I was drawing equations with Jurgen Klinsmann. Obviously, going 4-2-3-1, you have the base 4-4-2 that this U.S. team is used to, and then all of a sudden, at the very last moment, he switches to a diamond formation. And I think there's two things. Number one, getting the players used to switching around on the fly, and also making it very difficult to scout. But then you take a look at what Sabella did in his final game, where all of a sudden it's a three-man back line, and Mascherano's playing sweeper. Just so much talent on this team. That is so disciplined, so experienced, so skillful. It really doesn't matter where you put them, but when he moves a few pieces, all of a sudden the puzzle looks completely different. So not only is Argentina talented, but they're almost going to be impossible to scout.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Phil. It's been great. You can follow Phil on Twitter at Phil Shane and check him out on BN Sport. Unfortunately, we don't get your call in any of the World Cup matches, which is such a damn shame.
Well, I know there was a few people in a bar that were talking about flying me and Ray up. I don't know if might take a few brown ales to get that one done.
Indeed. I think I saw those tweets. Someone, either you or Ray, retweeted those, and that was great. Up in New York, right? They're trying to fly you guys out.
We'll see what we can do, but we might be too glued to the TV ourselves.
All right. Well, we'll see if we can convince you to come out to LA maybe one of these days, and we can watch matches out here.
That would be amazing.
That would be.
Thank
great.
You, guys.
All right, well, it's a pleasure, Phil. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be back soon with Group D and all the rest of the groups here on the Red Card District. Thank you so much.
Anytime.